This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. And I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me as always. Night one, round one of the 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. Here at Saturday to Sunday, we are going to cover every single pick from night one, talk about best available for day two, and try to make sense of what was a wild and some unexpected selections in night one of the NFL Draft. So let's jump right into it and kind of run through the picks, quick hitting thoughts on every single pick, and then obviously dissecting some of the major surprises we saw tonight. Obviously, the Bears got it going by selecting Caleb Williams. No surprise there. We don't need to speak about Caleb Williams. We know how special of a prospect he is, the arm talent, the ability to make second reaction plays, play off platform, the arm talent, the accuracy, the ball placement. We know what Caleb Williams brings to the table. Commanders stay, select Jaden Daniels, the quarterback. They're hoping that he becomes their version of whether it's Randall Cunningham, whether it's Lamar Jackson. Pick a guy with that athleticism, that straight line speed to be a weapon with the legs, but also throws a really good touch, throws with the deep ball really well, good accuracy, good ball placement. We saw consistent growth year after year from Jaden Daniels. That was the guy they targeted to be their next franchise quarterback. At pick number three, the Patriots select quarterback Drake May. They didn't pull the trigger on the trades. Giants were aggressively trying to come up. The Vikings were aggressively trying to come up. But they smartly stayed pat and selected their future franchise quarterback. They need to give him a better supporting cast and give him a better environment to be successful. But we're talking about a guy who's got really high-level athleticism, mobility. He can throw and play off structure and make second reaction plays. He's got very good to great arm talent, the velocity and strength. He's got areas he's got to clean up, obviously, footwork, mechanics, refinement. But Drake May, high-ceiling player, as I said, if he hits his ceiling, could be Justin Herbert or Josh Allen. I think the Patriots stood there and made the pick they had to make. And number four, Cardinals. They didn't get cute. They didn't try to trade down. They sat there. They selected wide receiver Marvin Harrison, obviously one of the premier prospects in this class. The argument can be made that he was the best prospect in the entire class. The route running, the releases, the ball control, I mean, the ball skills and body control, the way he varies his route tempo, the hands, he's the total package. Maybe he doesn't have that elite game-breaking speed, but he makes up for it in so many other ways. Cardinals couldn't afford to get cute and try to move around the board, I think, this year. They made the right pick. They stayed there, and they took Marvin Harrison. The Chargers, pick five, take offensive tackle Joe Alt. There was a lot of late buzz in the last 24 hours about J.C. Latham going there, but Joe Alt, prior to that, was the clear offensive tackle one in this draft class. So they take him. They have bookend tackles now with him and Slater to protect Justin Herbert. I do think they aggressively got to hit the wide receivers on day two and day three of this draft. But Alt has got great footwork, great mobility, great movement skills for a man his size. He's got rare size. The length is hard. He's hard to get past. He's got good play strength and physicality. He's a positive in terms of run blocking and pass protection. He's probably going to kick over to the right side. But the Chargers building from the inside out, which is kind of what I think Harbaugh wants there. But they pass on some premier level wide receivers because with the next pick, my football team, my Giants, don't get cute. The J.J. McCarthy stuff was obviously all a smokescreen. It was all buzz because if they believed in J.J. McCarthy, he clearly would have been the pick here. They wouldn't have taken a wide receiver no matter how much they liked him. If they thought J.J. McCarthy was a franchise quarterback, they would have taken him. So what that tells me is they looked at this as a clear three quarterback class. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, if you want to believe the reports that they really like Jaden Daniels, and then they were trying to aggressively move up for Drake May. It's clear when that wasn't an option, they did not look at J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, or Michael Penix as realistic options. And you know what? I think that speaks volumes on Joe Shane in terms of understanding that those ceilings of those players is simply not good enough in terms of what people think they could be. I think Michael, I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a good starter. I think the other guys have a shot, but he's looking for a specific criteria to have an elite franchise quarterback, and he just didn't see it, and I'm glad he didn't just make a decision with just saying we need a quarterback for the sake of getting a quarterback. That's bad processing. Instead, he takes wide receiver Malik Nabers, arguably the most explosive wide receiver in this class. Very good to great athleticism, speed, movement skills, suddenness, acceleration, bursts. He's got elite yak ability, agility, and elusiveness in the open field. He's got very good footwork, releases, separation quickness, body control, ball skills. He's arguably, you can make the case that he was the number one wide receiver in this class. There are some people that put him even ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. I had Marvin Harrison 1, I had Malik Nabers 2, but it was close. This is a guy that was one of my guys in my episode last week. I talked about him being one of my guys. This is from last summer. I said he was a top 10 worthy pick. I said he was close to Marvin Harrison. All year, he did nothing but live up to that hype. I'm glad the Giants made that selection. And I also think it speaks volumes on their process, not just to take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. The Titans, we knew they were looking offensive line. Maybe they wanted Joe Alt, but when he went 5, they pivoted to right tackle J.C. Latham. Great size and frame, good athleticism, footwork, and movement skills for a man his size, the play strength, the power, the finishing ability. He's got good hand usage, starting right tackle. I think he's best in the gap scheme, but he can get out and move in zone as well. And then we got the pick 8, the biggest head scratcher in maybe my entire life watching the NFL draft, and that's the Atlanta Falcons selecting quarterback Michael Penix Jr. Listen, there's things about Michael Penix Jr.'s game that I really like. He's got good size and frame. He's got good athleticism. You know, maybe he doesn't use it as much on the football field, but we know it's in his arsenal by the way he tested at his pro day. He's got great arm talent in terms of his velocity and strength. He's got above average accuracy and ball placement, good mental processing, great vertical thrower, can work through progressions quickly. He's got the upside to be a starting quarterback, but they drafted him at 8. That's where you draft franchise quarterbacks. That's where you draft guys who you think have ceilings to be top 10 in the league. But this is coming off of the fact that they just won the quarterback lottery in free agency, which is so rare to do that player in the caliber of Kirk Cousins doesn't usually make it to free agency. He's a very good starting quarterback. Maybe he's not top 10, but he's right there, right after it. I think they're the favorites to win the division. I don't understand this. No way, shape, or form does this make any sense. Michael Penix is already an older prospect. Now he's going to be at least 2 years behind Kirk Cousins, if not 3 years. Then all of a sudden, one of the big benefits of a rookie quarterback is the rookie pay scale. Well, if Penix doesn't take over to year 4, then you're talking about the 5th-year option, and then he's a free agent. So none of it makes sense. I don't know why they wouldn't have waited. If they wanted somebody in the pipeline, wait a year or two and find somebody. Even if you're a better team like I expect you to be with Kirk Cousins, you could find somebody with the talent level of Michael Penix Jr. in the 20s a year from now, 2 years from now. To sit there at 8, to pass on all the defensive prospects, to pass on Romo Odunze when you could have given Kirk Cousins Romo Odunze with Drake London, with Kyle Pitts, and with Bijan Robinson, it's just bad processing. I don't know how it makes sense. Now you got Kirk Cousins camp unhappy, his agents coming out. Now, fans are going to be weird, but they want to see the 8th overall pick play. So if Kirk Cousins has a bad game or two, are people going to be screaming for Michael Penix Jr.? Now you put pressure on Kirk Cousins to be a mentor to Michael Penix Jr. None of this makes sense. And I was excited to see where Michael Penix went. I didn't think he should be a top 10 pick, but I was intrigued by late round 1 or early round 2, and now he gets put into this really weird situation for all parties involved. I still can't wrap my head around what the Falcons did tonight and make sense of it. Pick number 9. I mean, the Bears just, Caleb Williams at 1, obviously the trade last year with Carolina that set that up. But then at 9, they get Romo Odunze. He's received comps to Davante Adams, Larry Fitzgerald, and those comps make a lot of sense. They really do because of how special of a prospect he is in his own right. The size, the frame, the athleticism, the movement skills, the work ethic, the body control, ball skills, winning and high-pointing contested catches. So much to like about Rome Odunze's game. They now pair him with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I'm not sure there's ever been a top-flight quarterback prospect taken in the top 5 of a draft that has been put in a better situation to be successful than Caleb Williams is going to the Chicago Bears. Bears are going to turn this around and be a legit threat in the NFC within, I think, 2 years or 3 years. They could really be a legitimate contender in the NFC with the moves they've made. So fantastic there. Vikings and the Jets swap picks. Vikings came up. They've been connected to J.J. McCarthy for quite some time. They move up. They get their guy. Listen, I've made my feelings known about J.J. McCarthy. I liked him. Didn't love him. Good athleticism, mobility to throw on the run. Keeps plays alive with his legs. He can play off structure. Make second reaction plays. I think he's got good arm talent in terms of his velocity and strength. I don't think it's great. I think sometimes the ball dies out, but I think it's good enough. He's got good accuracy and decision making. I think he's a starting quarterback. I think his ceiling is Kirk Cousins, as we were just talking about, or Brock Purdy, or Jared Goff. Do I think that's good enough in today's NFL to go deep into the playoffs? You need a great supporting cast. So the Vikings have already a really good supporting cast. They need to build that whole team up and basically be like the 49ers. That's where I think J.J. McCarthy can maybe make a deep playoff run or go to a Super Bowl. He's in an ideal situation, just like Caleb Williams is. So I think the environment that he's been put in is really going to be interesting because it's really set up. Now we'll see if he can be the focal point of an offense, because he was never asked to be at Michigan. It was one of my things that I struggled with. You know, can he go score 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, you know, when the team is struggling? You know, can he throw the ball 40 times a game if needed and be successful? We're going to find out, because the Vikings are a pass-first offense. I think it's a good matchup with Kevin O'Connell. I like the fit there. I think it's the right spot for him. I didn't think he was top five worthy. I thought he was more like in the 20 to 25 range, but I think it's fine where the Vikings got him. They didn't have to mortgage their other first-round pick. They didn't have to mortgage future first-round picks. So I thought it was a good job by the Vikings to get him where they did. The Jets picked up 2 extra picks by moving back by 1 spot with the Vikings. They picked up a 4 and a 5. They select offensive tackle Olufashinu. Great size and frame, good athleticism, movement skills, lateral quickness, scheme diverse. He can play gap. He can play zone. I think he can be a starting left tackle. The Jets needed to get an offensive tackle. I applaud them for not taking tight end Brock Bowers. They needed to get. They have 2 aging, old, injury-prone offensive tackles. They needed to make this move. I think this really helps solidify. A year ago, Olufashinu would have been looked at as a guy that was maybe a future top 3, top 5 pick. For the Jets to get him at 11, get 2 additional draft picks, and use that maybe as ammunition to move around tomorrow or more depth down the line on day 3, I thought the Jets did a really good job. Next up at pick 12 was the Denver Broncos. So the Denver Broncos, no surprise there, but the Denver Broncos selected Bo Nix. Listen, there's things about Bo Nix's game I like. Good size and frame, good arm talent in terms of velocity and strength. I think he's better in the short to intermediate than he is vertically, but he's got good accuracy and ball placement, good athleticism and mobility to throw on the run, playoff structure. He's got good clean mechanics and footwork and can go through progressions. The problem is, what's the ceiling? Like, if he becomes a good starting quarterback, I think that's run of the mill. I think it's average. Is that good enough for the Broncos? Like, they don't have a great supporting cast. They don't have a lot of draft capital. So he's going to get a chance to be the starting quarterback there rather quickly because they just don't have a lot there. Jared Stidham, they traded for Zach Wilson. So they didn't have a second-round pick. They felt the need to invest it, but that just made other people fall down the board. And I just think Bo Nix, Michael Penix, they just got pushed up too high. They got pushed up too high, but at least with Denver, unlike Atlanta, you can make the case they don't have a quarterback. They need to try to get lucky and hope that the guy they took kind of is better than what maybe people perceive. That can't be said with Atlanta, which is makes that the more way more head-scratching one, even though I like Penix better than I like Bo Nix. At 13, next up, the Raiders, a little bit of a head-scratcher, take tight end Brock Bowers, a year after taking Michael Mayer in the early portion of round 2. Now, I understand Brock Bowers could be looked at more as an offensive weapon or slot wide receiver. He's got great athleticism, speed, movement skills, acceleration. He's got body control and ball skills. He can adjust the pass. He's a good route runner. He can be a focal point of an offense. But what are you doing? Are you running? Is your base package going to be 2 tight ends? Are we talking about them doing like the old school Patriots with Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez? They don't have enough offensive firepower to have one of these guys on the sideline. So, like, they're going to have to be creative, whether that's Brock Bowers being in the slot mostly, whether it's two tight end stuff. Little surprise, I think the Raiders wanted to get their quarterback, and then they just pivoted to best player available. And I'll never hate on the strategy of best player available, but I do think at times tight end is a little bit of a luxury pick. You just invested early round two draft capital on a really good tight end last year in Michael Mayer. So I do think this was a little bit of a head-scratching move. At pick 14, the Saints select offensive tackle Tyleese Fuaga. Great size and frame, good athleticism, great length, very good play strength, power, good run blocker. He's got good instincts and techniques. I think he'll step right in and be a starting right tackle. The Colts at 15, I know they wanted a wide receiver. I know they wanted Brock Bowers. They take edge rusher Latu. Great size, good frame, very good athleticism, movement skills, really good first step quickness, great techniques. We're talking about a technician, a variety of pass rush techniques. His big thing was the medicals. Obviously, he had to medically retire a couple years ago, came back. What is his long-term outlook? Obviously, the Colts feel comfortable by making him the pick there at 15. Seahawks select defensive tackle Byron Murphy to second. Average size, good frame, very good athleticism, movement skills, and bursts. Obviously, he doesn't have that ideal length, but he's got quickness to get into the backfield, be an interior disruptor. I love the first step quickness. A lot to like about Byron Murphy's game there as that immediate starting retech defensive tackle. Pick 17, the Vikings move back up. So they were at 23 from that trade with the Texans like a month or two ago. They move up. They take edge rusher Dallas Turner, elite athletic tester. He's got movement skills. He's got speed. He's got quickness. He's got great length, footwork, closing burst, first step explosiveness, and bend off the edge. He's got good hand usage. He can drop in coverage. Most people thought he was going to be the first edge or at least be the first or potentially the first defensive player. He ends up falling all the way to pick 17, which we knew this was obviously a very heavy offensive draft. Delatu is the first defensive player taken at 15. 18, the Bengals select Amarius Mims, offensive tackle. The great size and frame. Very good athleticism, movement skills. Obviously doesn't have a lot of experience. Didn't start a lot of games at Georgia. His upside and ceiling is sky high. And I think he's a guy that really adds to that Bengals offensive line and has a really, really high ceiling. So interesting to see how that plays itself out. The Rams at 19 take edge rusher Jared Verse. You know, he's a guy that was one of my favorite defensive prospects in this draft class. Good size, average frame, but very good athleticism. He's got upfield burst, first step quickness, bend off the edge, great hand usage and instincts with detailed pass rush plan, good play strength with great motor. I like the combination of power and explosiveness that Verse brings to the table. At pick 20, Steelers get a great value pick. Offensive lineman Troy Fontenot falls there, good frame. Average athleticism, movement skills, and footwork, but he's got very good play strength, power, toughness, finishing ability, and physicality. He's got experience at offensive guard and as an offensive tackle. Really good run blocker and pass protector. Could also kick inside if they don't want to use him at tackle. Dolphins at 21 select edge rusher Chop Robinson out of Penn State. Great athleticism, movement skills, speed, first step quickness, and explosiveness. He's got closing bursts. He's got bend off the edge. He plays with great balance, leverage, and pad level. Amazing. The Eagles stay at 22. And the best cornerback in the draft is sitting there for them, where I thought he had a shot to go as high as 8 to Atlanta. But I'm talking about quarterback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Great athleticism, speed, can change directions well. He's got closing bursts, recovery ability, good play strength and physicality and run support. Love the cover and ball skills. I'm stunned in the pre-draft process how effective Quinyon Mitchell aced it. He was sitting there for the Eagles at 22, potentially giving them a shutdown cornerback one in this class. The Jaguars, who traded back, I should have talked about that before, when the Vikings came up, the Jaguars went back at pick 23 to take Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Great size, good frame, very good athleticism, speed, burst, acceleration, and movement skills. Really good body control and ball skills with the ability to high point. Good releases and play strength outside starting X wide receiver. Lot to like about his game. Next, at pick 24, the Lions make a trade up. Select cornerback Terrion Arnold. Good size and frame. Good athleticism, speed, movement skills. His play speed was better than his time speed. I think some people had some question marks about his time speed at the combine, but his play speed is way fast enough. He's always in position. He's got great footwork. He's got change of direction and agility capabilities. He's got play strength and aggressiveness and run support. To me, he's got the upside to be a shutdown corner. When him and Quinion Mitchell were to clear quarterback one, quarterback two, I think, in this class. I think I love Cooper DeJean. Stunned he's still out there, but he's a little bit more versatile in terms of how he can be used. At pick 25, the Packers select offensive lineman Jordan Morgan. Great size and frame, good athleticism, movement skills. He's got agility and lateral quickness for a man his size. He's got great length. He could be a starting offensive tackle in a gap or a zone scheme or even kick inside to guard. At pick 26, the Bucs select offensive lineman Graham Barden. He literally played all five positions along the offensive line, but he's got really good athleticism, footwork, play strength, leg drive, good power and physicality. He's a really good run blocker and pass protector. He's got really good techniques, scheme diverse, can play zone, can play gap, starting offensive center immediately. The Cardinals at pick 27 select defensive lineman Darius Robinson. Now, very interesting to see how he's going to be used. Is he a 4-3 power defensive end or a 5-tech DN who kicks inside in sub-packages at 280-something pounds? He's got really good length. He's a power player, great play strength power. He uses his hands really well, really good in run support and setting the edge. He's more of that prototypical 5-tech defensive end or power 4-3 defensive end, but I do think he'll kick inside. Pick 28. The Bills, once upon a time, gave the Chiefs Patrick Mahomes. Now they swap with the Chiefs. The Chiefs come up to 28, and even though they signed Hollywood Brown, it was only to a one-year deal. We know the off-the-field issues Rashee Rice currently has, but most likely he'll be suspended for a couple games. But the Chiefs come up and get the burner, get the speedster, Xavier Worthy, elite-level athleticism, speed, explosiveness, burst. I don't want to hear that he can't get vertical. Maybe that was a Quinn Ewers problem. Maybe that was a Texas problem. I don't want to hear that Xavier Worthy is not a vertical threat. He's got elite speed, elite burst, elite acceleration. He's got ball tracking skills. He is going to be a vertical threat at the next level. He could be a yak guy also. But this, we're talking about a guy who's going to be a vertical weapon. And you're now, yes, is there a Tyreek Hill there yet? No. But you're talking about if Rashee Rice is there, now Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and with Travis Kelce. The Chiefs are better. The Chiefs just won a Super Bowl 2 years in a row with Travis Kelce and nobody else last year. And then this year, it was a rookie Rashee Rice and an aging Travis Kelce. Now you had Hollywood Brown, who's going to be motivated to play great this year to get a monster free agent deal next year. And now you add Xavier Worthy on top of it. The speed that Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown was my comp for Xavier Worthy. That explosiveness, what that's going to do to that entire offense with the way Mahomes extends plays, makes those second reaction throws. This was a home run pick by the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't believe the Bills allowed it to happen as well. At pick 29, the Cowboys had moved back with an earlier trade. Now they select offensive tackle Tyler Guyton. He was the last of that group of clear offensive linemen and tackles who were going to go round one. He could be a starting left tackle or right tackle. I think he's better in his own run scheme. Really good at athleticism, movement skills, lateral quickness. He's got great length, good hand usage, better pass protector than run blocker right now. Pick 30, the Ravens select cornerback Nate Wiggins. Great size, average frame, great athleticism, speed, and movement skills. He's got closing bursts. He's got change of direction and agility. He's got length, very good cover skills. Obviously, a slender frame, but he's a starting quarterback with shutdown ability with his speed and explosiveness and the ability for him to cover. At 31, one of the biggest surprises of round one, even though the pre-draft process, he had continued to ace it, was the 49ers selecting wide receiver Ricky Purcell. Very good, the great athleticism. You love the speed, the footwork, the inside-outside versatility, the movement skills, the short area quickness. I think he's best in the slot, but I think he can play outside. The body control and ball skills. And I think the bigger question this rises now is, are we going to see Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk move tomorrow? I think it's possible. Because if not, they're going to lose Brandon Ayuk at the end of next year. And the Ricky Purcell, I think, is to kind of start prepping him for that. He's going to be dynamite in Kyle Shanahan's offense and scheme. This was a great pick by the 49ers. And then the last pick of round one was the Panthers. after they swapped, the Buffalo went back to 32 with the KC trade, and then Buffalo gets out of round one, now has the first pick tomorrow night. Panthers come up one slot to get themselves their wide receiver of choice that they wanted, and that was Xavier Leggett. Good size, great frame, great athleticism, burst, straight line speed, acceleration, great play strength, physicality, toughness. He's got ball skills and body control. You see it in his contested catch ability. You see it in his yak ability. They want to build up and give Bryce Young a chance. They traded for Deontay Johnson. Now they draft Xavier Leggett. They still drafted Jonathan Mingo early last year in round two. Adam Thielen's still there. They're trying to give themselves a chance to see what Bryce Young can bring to the table. I wouldn't even be surprised to see the Panthers maybe make another wide receiver pick and just keep stockpiling that position. So all in all, we had seven. After we didn't think we were going to get it, we ended up getting seven wide receivers in round one, six quarterbacks, tight end, nine offensive linemen, and then only, we're talking five defensive end / edge, if you count Darius Robinson there, one defensive tackle in Byron Murphy, and then three cornerbacks. So really heavy offensive draft. If you were following along on the draft projections notebook, unbelievable first round for us again. 29 out of 32, we projected right. That's a 91% clip rate. That's as good as we've had in round one. Okay, the three prospects we missed, I had them on the just miss cut. Xavier Leggett, Ricky Purcell, and Darius Robinson. The three guys I had in round one that didn't get taken were defensive tackle Jerzon Newton, Cooper DeJean, and Kool-Aid McKinstry. So 29 out of 32. If we talk about best available for tomorrow, I think we're going to see one quarterback. I think the only quarterback we're going to see go tomorrow is Spencer Rattler, and left Michael Pratt gets pushed up the board. We're going to see running backs tomorrow, anywhere between 5 and 7. So look for Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, Blake Corum, Marshawn Lloyd, Braylon Allen, Ray Davis. I think we see about four or five of them come off the board tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be another big wide receiver day. We're going to see A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Jalen Polk, Roman Wilson, Malachi Corley. We might see Devontae Walker, Jalen McMillan, or Malik Washington towards the latter part of round three. I think we're going to see three or four tight ends tomorrow. Jatavion Sanders, Ben Sinnott, Theo Johnson, Jared Wiley, the best available there. Offensive linemen, I know we got a lot today. We're going to see a bunch more go tomorrow. You're going to see Kingsley Sumatia. You're going to see Roger Rosengarten. You're going to see Patrick Paul, Blake Fisher. You're going to see a top center in Zach Frazier. Two really good guards in Christian Haynes and Cooper Beebe. You're going to see Brandon Coleman. And then a couple guys towards the latter part of round three, you might see Dominic Pooney, Isaiah Adams, Matt Gonclaves, Christian Jones. And then on the defensive side, obviously a lot of really good defensive prospects left. I'm really intrigued with the corners and the D tackles. You got Jerzon Newton, Brandon Fiss, Chris Jenkins, Michael Hall Jr., all sitting out there in round two, probably. Mason Smith, or Ruge Okoro, in round three, or Brandon Dorlus. The edgy rushers. We saw a bunch come off the board today. Tomorrow, you're going to see guys like Marshon Neiland, Chris Braswell, Braylon Trice, Adisa Isaac, Jalix Hunt, Muhammad Kamara, Jonah Ellis, Austin Booker. We had no linebackers today come off the board. I would expect to see four or so tomorrow. Junior Colson, Edgerton Cooper, Peyton Wilson, Cedric Gray. Cooper DeJean stands out as my best available player left by far. Kool-Aid McKinstry not far behind. Enos Rakeshore Jr. and Max Melton and Mike Sainstrew not far behind. You're going to see also Andrew Phillips, Kamari Lassiter, TJ Tampa, and maybe a couple other corners. And then we had no safeties go today. I think we're going to see five or six tomorrow. Tyler Newbin, Jaden Hicks, Javon Bullard, Cole Bishop, Cameron Kitchens, or Kalen Bullock, or Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. Those are the best available. Tons of guys still available. Not even all these guys are going to go on day two. Some of them are going to end up falling to day three. If we talk fantasy for a second, and these are not even official. I haven't even put them in a notebook. But if we're talking fantasy, start the wide receiver position. I think I would rank them for Dynasty: Marvin Harrison 1, Malik Nabers 2, Romo Odunze-Ejiofor, Xavier Worthy 4, Brian Thomas 5, Ricky Purcell 6, Xavier Leggett 7. I think that would be my order for the wide receivers right now. Instant reaction. At the quarterbacks, I'd rank Caleb 1, Jaden Daniels 2. It pains me to say it, but I think J.J. McCarthy 3, Drake May 4, Bo Nix 5, Michael Penix 6. Michael Penix has to be last. He's going to sit on your bench for minimum 2 years, but probably 3 years. So that would be my quick dynasty rookie rankings just off of round one. I'll finalize that tomorrow before round two kicks off. But that's where my initial, at 12:41 a.m., after a long day, that's my initial reactions in terms of dynasty rookie rankings from tonight's prospects that have been taken. If you've been enjoying this coverage, guys, get over to the website, SS Football. Still not too late to get the premium notebooks. For $9.99, you get all three of them. Scouting notebook, 100 detailed player profiles. You get the rankings notebook. Has tons of rankings in there already. And then will be added. Dynasty rookie rankings will start to be added tomorrow and will be updated each day of the draft. There'll be eventually IDP rookie rankings added. Positional overall dynasty rankings. The Devy rankings are in there. And then just my film rankings and tiered film rankings are also in there. And then the draft projections notebook is literally at its most valuable on day two and day three of the NFL draft. So again, we picked 29 out of 32 right today. We'll see how we do tomorrow. I also entered the Huddle Top 100 contest. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how I fare against so many of the people in the industry who do such a great job with this. We've had tremendous success. I just never had entered in the past. So I'm excited to kind of see where we finish out in that as well. If you missed it, I also joined Sig Bloom and Matt Wallman for the first hour of their live, you know, Football Guys, you know, night one draft coverage. So you could also hear my takes live in reacting to the first hour or so of the NFL draft. You can find that over on YouTube as well. So looking forward to day two. It's far and away always been my favorite day of the NFL draft. I'll spend the next, besides getting a few hours of sleep, I'll spend all morning tomorrow looking over everything from day one, watching a whole lot of Malik Nabers film now that he's a member of the Giants, analyzing who's out there for day two, make my official currently dynasty rookie rankings based on what we saw in night one, and then live tweeting all throughout the day, answering any questions that people fire my way, and then also live tweeting every single pick tomorrow, and then do another podcast tomorrow night, and then do it all over again on day three as well. So, on behalf of our sound tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.